Father, we thank you again in Jesus' name for your great, great grace and how you gave it all in your wonderful Son. Lord, we rejoice in him. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for us. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us. Thank you, Jesus, that you're performing the good work which you have begun in us. And Lord, I thank you for that comfort and confidence, Lord, that if you be for us, who could be against us? Lord, not even myself. Praise be to God. Let me know in your faithfulness, dear God. I can't even get in the way, that you will do it. And Lord, let us just have the boldness to lay hold of that grace and mercy, Lord, to have faith, Lord God, in your love for us, in your ability, Lord Jesus, in the power of your might. And Lord, let this anointing just continue to reign upon all your people here today. God, thank you, Lord, that we're living an anointed life in the power of your might. And Lord, how glorious and wonderful it is. And greater things, praise God, you are performing. And Lord, you're getting us ready to go. And oh, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, in the shout of the archangel, and present with the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, let us be loving and expecting that moment like none other. Lord, draw our hearts. Let us tend upon you without distraction. We thank you for the great grace for all of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles and begin in 1 Kings today. And that's 1 Kings chapter 9. I'm going to read about some of these precious men of God today, these ones that the Lord so divinely made kings in Israel. And we'll pick it up in the first verse of the 9th chapter. And it came to pass when Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord and the king's house and all Solomon's desire which he pleased to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time, as he had appeared unto him at Gibeon. And the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built, to put my name there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And if thou wilt walk before me, as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart, in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded, and will keep my statutes and my judgments. My goodness, that's a lot of stuff going on there. But notice, it was all testified, isn't that so precious? As David thy father walked. Note that. Then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. But if ye shall at all turn from following me, ye or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes which I have set before you, and listen to this, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them. And this house which I have hallowed for my name will I cast out of my sight, and Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people. And at this house, which is high, everyone that passes by it shall be astonished, and shall hiss, and they shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and to this house? And they shall answer, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought forth their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have taken hold upon other gods, and have worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath the Lord brought upon them all this evil. Now turn with me over to 2 Kings chapter 23. In this same thought, now we're speaking here of that sweet King Josiah. And in the 23rd chapter of 2 Kings, we'll start reading from the 21st verse. And the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover unto the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of this covenant. Surely there was not holden such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor in all of the days of the kings of Israel, nor of the kings of Judah. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, wherein this Passover was holden to the Lord in Jerusalem. Boy, what a time of rejoicing this was. Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and the wizards and the images and the idols and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem did Josiah put away that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. And like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might according to all the law of Moses. Neither after him arose there any like him. My, oh my. Now one more here. Turn over to Matthew, the 22nd verse, 22nd chapter, and we'll begin reading from the 35th verse. That's Matthew 22, verse 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question. And this is asking Jesus, tempting him, and saying, Master, what is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You know it, amen. Praise be to God. I remember when I first read these things, and I kind of mentioned it a little bit last week as the Lord was dealing with my heart, even on this last Sunday. When I read these things about David, when the Lord kind of first drew me in to really searching out these things, I remember I didn't really get this about the life of David. You know, David, I'll tell you, when it said there he kept all those statutes and commandments of God, I got to thinking, now wait a second here. This was David. I mean, this was that guy that was looking over there across these roofs and saw Bathsheba and thought she was pretty fair to look at, and fornication came a-running. And my, oh my, she was married and adultery came right with it. Come on now. And then, not only did he want to not face up to it, well, I guess I can do a convenient, hidden, sneaky murder. Because that's what he did to her husband, you know that. By sending that man to the front lines, he was dead. And he went ahead and sent him in there. And so we got all these different things going on, and I'm sure a whole bunch more. And I got to thinking, my goodness. Now, wait a second. It said there that he walked uprightly. He did all in his heart as the Lord had encouraged him. He kept all those statutes and commandments. And then I remember visiting with somebody on that, and they said, well, you know, David really got it right later on in life. And I said, well, that's not true. I said, matter of fact, it said that if there was the greatest transgression of all in David's life, it happened about a year before he went to be with the Lord, when he numbered all the people. Because he was going to trust God, he was going to trust the numbers of people in battle, then he was going to trust the mighty arm of God. And how that hurt the Lord over and over, if you remember what God did for David all those times. See how easily we forget? Come on now. Flesh, right? All right. Now, but he walked uprightly, and in all the Lord's statutes and commandments, he sure did. Turn with me over to Psalm 51. And he sure did. And it's the same reason we do too. And in Psalm 51, verses 1 and 2, he says it just like this. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of the tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. David always knew, praise be to God, that the precious blood had cleansed him from all sin. Amen? Amen. As far as the east is from the west, in the sea of forgetfulness, praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. If you're a child here today of God, if you're a child of God here today, you are as righteous and holy as you will ever be. Amen, amen. Now, unfortunately, most people, that's all they receive. And they say, well, okay, I got it. I'm just going to check that off and go live as I want. No, God says that's just the beginning. Now, I'm going to show you what I'm going to do. That life's going to grow up in you. If you let it grow up in you, you see how magnificent Christ in you, the hope of glory, is. But brothers and sisters, I really want us to see this today, and we got to run at this now. See, the reason that David and Josiah, these two kings, were the first rank kings. They were the king of kings, in a sense, in that type of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus that the Lord gives us in that encouragement to run after him today. They were the benchmark ones because of one thing, and that was because of love. Because of love. It wasn't because of their deeds. It wasn't because of their speeches. It wasn't because of all the things that they did or were going to do. No, it was because they loved the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and thy mind. And that is it, brothers and sisters. I am so thankful, praise be to God. It was evidenced in the one thing that we read throughout each one of those scriptures. They had no other gods but one. Did you notice that? That's what separated Solomon from that intimate fellowship that David had. It wasn't anything but he went after other gods. His heart was pulled away. His affections were taken over towards things. See, the Lord is a jealous God. He is a jealous lover. And until you really appreciate that, you're not going to get this. He made you. He did. He made you. You wouldn't be here today if you didn't believe God made you. He made man, and he made you for one purpose, to be to the praise of the glory of his grace. All men, I would be saved and come to the full, complete, exact, intimate knowledge of the truth. We are so full of purpose. We are full of God's purpose. But see, everything in this world pulls us from it. That's why, again, this life is by faith. This life is by the word of God. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And praise the Lord, you're not going to seek him until you really find out how much he loves you. Until you settle down and start being thankful. Yes, even in the little things, praise be to God. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something. These men, and they're just men, even though they were the kings of Israel at this time, sure, they erred in judgment. They failed. But the one thing that God counted the greatest, their love never grew cold. See, it's not about the goodly man. It's about the godly man. If it was about the goodly man, King Saul would have been the mark. Amen? He would have been the mark. He was the goodly man. That's why the people chose him. Besides being tall, let's choose him. He's the good one. No, God had a plan. I've got the runt of the litter that even his daddy almost forgot about. That's my king. As Gideon said, I'm the less of the least of my house. You're just the man for me. Brother and sister, we have to understand this. If it was about ranking sins according to man's thoughts, David would have been finished. David would have been stoned. David would have been killed. But yet David was marked out by God. That's the man after my own heart. You're getting quiet. And we should be convicted. Amen. It should kind of pierce us a little bit here. Because I know, and I'll get into the front of the line, that there have been times in my life I've went by these. I've went by this. That can't be right. You better go by this. You better go by this. Or you're going to miss it. You're going to miss the best part. You're going to miss the joy unspeakable and full of glory. See, God does not look on the outward appearance. He looks on the heart. And that overcomer, that rib company, that bride will always be the one that has the heart that loves the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and thy mind. And brothers and sisters, we have to get this. We really do. We have to settle in on this again or we will let it pass us by. Who chose the better part? All throughout the Word of God, who chose the better part? Was it the worker Martha or was it Mary, the worshiper at Jesus' feet? Who chose the better part? Jesus said, leave her alone. See, man, they couldn't understand that. They were looking with their own eyes and thinking with their own brain. We got lots of things to do here. There's people coming. We got to get ready. We got to serve all these folks. We got to be hospitable. Mary, how could you just sit there and do nothing? And just cry and anoint his feet. And Jesus said, oh, don't you touch her. Don't you disturb her. She has chosen the better place. Huh? Who chose the better part? Was it the disciple? Who was the disciple, I should say, that Jesus, he loves all. We know that. And he loves without dissimulation. But he sure noted who was the disciple that Jesus said he loved. Huh? Was it the one that said, oh Lord, I won't let anybody touch you. Lord, I won't let them come and take you. That bold Peter. Or was it the one, John, who just laid his head upon his breast? Huh? Man, Peter, he could stir up a lot of whirlwind there of a lot of things he was doing. He could get a lot of attention. Matter of fact, there's one giant church organization that got caught up into all that as well too. And I remember standing there as I was in Italy and they had in this one big entryway into one of those big cathedrals, they had a sculpture of Peter on one side and Paul on the other. I finally saw Paul. And that guy showing me around, I said, oh, there's Paul. He said, oh, no, Peter, he's the man. And I looked at him and I said, no, Jesus is the man. And I said, and Paul is the apostle to the church. You better know these things. That's the word of our Lord. Now, what about the companies that are seen in Revelation? Which one has the best part? Is it the innumerable servant palm wavers in chapter 7? Did you hear that? See, in chapter 7, we know that there's this innumerable company. And it says that they serve the Lord day and night. And they have palms in their hands. Precious place to be. Or is it the bride, the Lamb's wife, that is seated with him in chapter 4? See, brothers and sisters, over and over throughout the Word of God, it is all about love. It's all about love. It's all about, praise God, the true worshiper that worships him in spirit and truth. That's the one he is really interested in. See, brothers and sisters, again, the worshiper means drawing nigh in fervent love to kiss him. See, man has given us all of these perceptions of what we think religious is, what we think someone spiritual is, what we think someone who's really walking with God is. And God is always sitting there and says, look, I don't look on the outward appearance. I'm the God that looks on the heart. But, you know, as the Lord was dealing with me on this, he said, you know, honey, maybe this will break through to somebody. How many brothers are married here today? I'm married. See all these hands come up. Don't have to be shy about that, brothers. We have pictures here, and if you didn't raise your hand and you are, you're in trouble. But that'll be something else I'll deal with in my office. So, but you think about this. Did you marry your sweetheart? Did you marry your sweetheart for her to serve you? You better say no. Then there's no one that can help you. Did you marry your sweetheart for her to take care of you? Or did you wed one another because she loved you and you loved her? Now, I mean, think about just how basic that is. Think of how simple that is. And you think about, praise God, I can testify, honestly, I got married because totally love and nothing else. But I will say this, can you imagine, and I was thinking about this, my brother Jim, he's back in California, and he would tell me, I announced to the world that I was definitely the most worthless child that my family had, that I couldn't figure out how to pick up my clothes or to do anything, but remember, I was the baby, so Mom knew I was the last chance for her to cook every meal and do everything for me. Yeah, you know it. But you know what? Can you imagine when my wife and I got married? And you know, she had it pretty good at home too. I'm going to tell you that. But we loved one another so much that she washes clothes and I wash dishes and that she cooks meals and I cut a lawn. Huh? You see what love can do? Love produces works, doesn't it? Love brings out the works. It doesn't work the other way. I didn't get married so I could do dishes. But you know what? I love my wife enough. I know that if that makes her happy and I can do something to help her, I love to do it. That's just love. That's just God. But that's how the Lord works. And I want us to get that today. You think about how he said about David and Josiah. It wasn't about their good deeds. It wasn't about anything that they could write or that they could speak or all of these different things. It was because of love. David had a heart that desired the very heart of God. He was after that heart. And God is a God of love. If God was about works and about what we could produce and all of those things, God would have never given his son like he did to us. If there was anything we could merit from our own lives, and I remember so many times, sweet Brother Hill, if I could just clip my little pinky nail, if that could have been the requirement that I could have had some type of an acceptance or favor to God, God would have never, ever given his son to be abused and beaten and torn and to die and his blood to be shed and to become sin for us who knew no sin. It's going to be my son. It's going to be the Lamb of God. There's only going to be one glory, and it's only going to be in the cross. And that's what he is after, and that's what he has always been after. Peter, do you love me? Not Peter, will you go serve me? Not Peter, will you go be a great missionary for me? Peter, do you love me? And he was looking for divine love. But I'm going to tell you something. If you read it and you really read it and understand it, Peter never broke at that time to divine love. Because the last time the Lord said, well, Peter, do you just love me as a friend? What's it going to be, huh? What's it going to be? I got to get rid of my dirty, stinking self-righteousness, don't I? God, all of these thoughts on how I'm going to serve you and how I'm going to merit favor with you and how I'm going to get my life together. It doesn't start that way. It never will be that way. He just loves you. He absolutely adores you. We need to understand when he said, oh my goodness, you've ravished my heart with just one bat of your eye. We need to come to that place, Lord. Yes, I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. Do you understand? That's the grace of God. That's what he's wanting. That's the fellowship that he is after. That's what a wife is. A soulmate. A helpmate. As sweet sister encouraged my heart so many years ago, oh brother, that word vessel, it really means adding to the usefulness of the husband. It's not just set there to, you know, in a sense, be displayed. My goodness, I want that mustache cup. How about you? I want to be that vessel that's just set aside only for the master's use. Praise the Lord. He's a mighty God. He's so good to us. And you know, in closing, I'll tell you this. God's so gracious, he gives us the signs of who these ones are. Do you know that they're lovely ones? They're the ones that truly love the neighbor as thyself. They do. And what he's getting at there is they're loving ones. They're spiritual ones. They're restorers. They're not condemners or condescending. They're not complainers. They love souls. Now, I'm going to testify to you. We get chapped at one another from time to time, don't we? Man, my goodness, we get here in a convention, we get that tightly fit and compacted, too tight for me. Huh? Be honest. But you know the love of God loves everybody. And that's exactly what neighbor means if you look that up. It means loving everybody. Everybody. Not just us four no more. Not just the ones that agree with me. Not just the ones that treat me good. Everybody. Everybody. Praise be to God. And only God can do that. You hear me say it often. Are you seeing souls? Are you seeing flesh? You see flesh, you're going to be bitter. You're going to be hateful. You're going to be angry. And then you're going to be feeling and thinking about you. Huh? Come on, this is the word of God. It's so wonderful. It's like come to reality. Here's the word of God. Nothing's hid from him. He knows your heart. He knows your thought afar off. He knows your down setting and your uprising. You can't fool God. And enjoy it. And enjoy being exposed before him. He loves you. He's after the very best for you. The very best. Not here, not there, but we're talking exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. This is an awesome God. He's incredible in his love to us. And as he says in the word of God, let us not neglect so great salvation. And all he has encouraged me, let him melt your heart. Let him melt your heart. Really, let him melt your heart. Amen. Don't go through this life cold. There's too many cold Christians. Just get kind of fiery on a Sunday and then we cooled right back down. Oh, I've done this or this. That's enough for me. Now I'm going back to my hard face. Huh? I was nice for 45 minutes. That's enough for me. It's time to get mean. Don't miss it. Don't waste your time. Don't let the enemy deceive you. And I'll tell you how he'll do it for you. Because I'll testify this. You think about how he's patiently waited for you to respond. I pray I'll never, ever lose sight of the wretched man. And how many times I've been proud and I've been bitter and I've been hateful and mad, and how he's held me over and over and over and over. And all he could tell me is, honey, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. And I'll tell you what, if we think on those things, if that is my meditation on that grace and mercy, I'll tell you what, he's going to give you the heart of David. He's going to give you the heart of David. You're going to love the Lord. You're going to love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. You will. Because it's the will of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again how your word penetrates us. It does. It just discerns the heart. And Lord, we're grateful that we're loved with such a great love. And Lord, you are. You're searching and you're seeking. And you've sent this wondrous Holy Ghost. Will we be the Rebecca at the well? Will we come down there to the well, and then as we hear this truth, as we hear this grace, as we hear this wondrous story, will we let it captivate us? Will we take time for Jesus? Will we be the ones that'll sit at the well and listen to the story and take all that the Master has? Huh? Oh, Lord. Help us to awake. Because I'll tell you one thing. The Word of God does say, it's time to go. Lord, help us to have that heart that'll go. We thank you, Jesus, for this. Thank you for your great love. Help us to respond. Help us to just be more thankful leaving this place than we were when we came. We give you the praise, the glory, and the thanks, and the honor. Forever and ever, in Jesus' name, amen.